You know, when I listen to me on the tape, it doesn't sound like it sounds when I'm listening to me talk. And when I get around people who know how to talk, I end up talking like that too. Because that's what I grew up in. I grew up around cousins from South Georgia and South Alabama and North Florida. So it really comes out from time to time. I'll get on the phone with my brother, either my brothers or my aunt, and Deb will know I'm talking to somebody in Florida just by the way I'm talking, because there it is. It just naturally comes out of me. But praise God. I want to talk this morning about loss and gain. Each and every one of us is going to suffer loss in our lives. Each and every one of us is going to go through difficult times. That's not me being prophetic. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Peter says, consider it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to test you as though some strange thing happened. For you know that these same temptations are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So everybody goes through things. Our question has to come down to, how do we deal with it? How do we face it? How do we walk through it? And what is our hope at the end of it? In Philippians 3, beginning with verse 7, Paul talking to the church at Philippi, he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge, or for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul grew up Saul of Tarsus before he became known as Paul. Grew up in a Jewish household. He was a Roman citizen. He was educated in the most prestigious schools. He was a Pharisee. He was well known and respected in his circles. And then he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. A bright light from heaven blinded him, knocked him from his horse. And he heard a voice saying, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you? He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. And Paul had an encounter that changed his life. He walked away from the things that he knew, and in doing so, he made enemies. In doing so, he had a lot of people after him. In fact, he got arrested. He got thrown in jail. If you read his testimony in, I think it's 2 Thessalonians, talked about being shipwrecked three times beaten with rods, a day and a night he'd spent in the deep, twice let down down a wall in a basket. You know, having been stoned, all of the things that happened to Paul. But he had an understanding that everything he went through was just temporary. Everything he went through was a short-term thing. But the goal was to follow Jesus. As we go through different things in our lives, do we hang on to them tightly? Or are we willing to say, I don't understand what all's going on, but I know God is God. And I know, and I've seen the hand of God working in my life, and I've seen the hand of God working in a lot of the people's lives in this room, where God has brought us through some difficult, difficult times. We have faced loss. We have lost family members. We have lost relationships. We have lost, financial losses in some cases, or whatever. Job losses, different things that have happened, things we have had to walk away from. But trust that God is still leading and guiding us. How do we deal with loss? The goal is, or the important thing is to have hope. And my hope is in Jesus. Jesus has brought me through a lot of things. Having been separated from my family because of different issues, and just so many things have gone on, as Randy talks about. This is the first time that a child has graduated that he hasn't been there. And there's that sense of loss. Yet God is still at work in his life. And God is still at work in your life. And God is still at work in my life. So the things we go through are temporary. Do we have a hope of knowing who Jesus is? Do we have a hope and an expectation that he's going to bring us through? That no matter what happens, he is still God. He is still good. He still loves me. And whatever happens is still not the end of the story. In Mark 8, verse 34, says, when he, that's Jesus, had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Can we agree that we are in the midst of an adulterous and sinful generation?
Amen.
So it's really no better now than it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus said an adulterous and sinful generation then, and we still see it because that's what's in the heart of men. That's what's in the heart of people. In fact, before the flood, Scripture says that God looked down and saw that the heart of men was to do evil continually. Hadn't changed. Human nature hasn't changed. But we have a hope, we have a source, we have forgiveness, we have the grace of God, we have the Holy Spirit which will teach us and lead us and guide us. And draw us by His Spirit. I praise God, I am not the person that I used to be. My wife says, if she had known me then, she would not know me now. Because I was messed up. So, as messed up as I am now, imagine how bad that had to be for me to say that I was messed up. I was messed up. I still need Jesus each and every day, don't get me wrong. But I am not the person that I used to be. Because He's changed my heart, He's changed my life. When I stopped running, when I turned around and said, okay, Lord, you are God and I am not. When I made that decision, when I turned around, things began to change. I'm not the mean, nasty person that I used to be. I'm not the hateful person that I used to be. Because He is merciful. Because God designed man in the garden as a companion. He wanted fellowship. He wanted companionship. Scripture says before the fall that the Spirit of the Lord came and walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. They had a relationship. They had communion with God. And then after the sin, after that partaking of the forbidden fruit, where they realized that they were naked, as the scripture says, they hid in the garden. And God went through and said, Adam, where are you? Now the God who knows everything knew exactly where they were. It wasn't a question of where are you hiding? You know, Ollie, Ollie, oxen free, y'all come out now. No, it wasn't a case of that. It was, you turned away in your heart. And that's the world, that's how we come into this world, turned away from God. But He draws us by His Spirit. He calls out to us, but you will have to walk away from some things. You will have to turn back from some things as you go forward in the Lord. Because we are no longer our own. We become bought with a price. When we were on our own in living our own lives, living for our own plans and our own purposes, and making a mess out of it, like I did, making a mess of our lives, God was merciful in drawing us. But when we decide to stop running, decide to stop trying to do things my own way, to recognize that I don't have all the answers. Every time I try to fix it, I make it worse. I said, okay, Lord, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not running my own life anymore. How do I live? And get out your Bible and you start going through there. Are you a husband? How does the Bible tell a husband to treat his wife? Love his wife as Christ loved the church. Are you a wife? How does the scripture tell a wife? Honor your husband. Are you a neighbor? How do you treat your neighbor? What is this? Scripture tells us to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Are we kind? When we find out that we're not doing what the Word of God tells us to do, what's the answer? Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I recognize I'm wrong. Change my heart. Many years ago, I had a lot of bitterness and a lot of anger because of a situation. And I'm reading my Bible and all of a sudden God wrote in there that morning, you know, because that's the day it became real to me. God wrote in there that morning that says, if you do not forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. And all of a sudden it hit home. I'd read the Bible through quite a few times. I'd read that same verse quite a few times, but that day it became real. That day it came to life. And I recognized that I needed to let go of some things and I needed to lay things down. And it wasn't a simple task. It was, God, I will to forgive. Please work it in my heart. Anytime the situation came up committed myself to declare that, God, I will to forgive. This is what your word tells me. I will to forgive. I want to do what you've called me to do. And lay it down. I was pastoring this church. No, I wasn't pastoring this church yet, was I, Ben? Not yet? Okay. I was going to be pastoring this church. But I had been a minister for a number of years. Yet all of a sudden, it came to life to me that day. And when I began crying out to the Lord, Lord, work it in my heart. Lord, work it in my heart. I will to forgive. I want to do what you've called me to do. Work it in me. Then all of a sudden, one day, the situation came up and I realized I wasn't angry anymore. I wasn't bitter anymore. I had forgiven this person. Praise God because of what God did. But it's all in being willing to seek His face. It's being willing to lay these things down. It's being willing to say, I was wrong. Each and every one of us go through this. Still in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, says, then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. If we're willing to lay it down, if we're willing to lay down our own plans, if we're willing to lay down our own goals and desires and expectations, and trust that God is going to take care of us, God is going to direct us, we will see God making provision in such a way that we can't even imagine. Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things the Lord has prepared for those who love Him. If I can imagine it, it's not good enough. God has something better in mind. Am I willing to trust that God's word is true? Am I willing to believe that God knows what He's talking about? Faith is believing God was telling the truth when He told you something. You know that, right? That's what faith is. Believe that the God who declared it is able to make it happen. In the Wednesday night Bible study, we've been talking about Abram, who later became Abraham. And where God had just said to your children, I will give this land, talking about the land of Canaan. And then he goes down to Egypt. And down in Egypt, as he gets to Egypt, he turns to Sarai, his wife, and he says, you're a beautiful woman, and if they see you, they'll know that you're my wife, and they'll kill me for your sake. So you just tell them that you're my sister. God just said to your children, I will give this land. And two verses later, he says, they're going to kill me when they see you. It's much later in Abram's life where he's willing to lay Isaac on the altar because he knew that the God who said, in Isaac your seed will be called, even if he sacrificed Isaac as God had told him to do, God was able to raise him up. It tells us that in Hebrews. It took a while to build that faith, and it takes a while to build our own faith. Yet God is faithful. We can see it, we can watch it, and we can recognize it. So here, what Jesus just told Peter and the disciples is, if you're willing to lay down your goals, if you're willing to lay down your plans and take up God's plan, then God has something better for you in mind than you can possibly imagine. But also says with persecutions. You notice that part in there?
Yeah.
Remember what I said earlier? We all go through things. Each and every one of us go through things in this life. Yet God is still faithful. We can go through the things we go through in this life because we trust that God has us engraved in the palm of His hands, that God is at work even in difficult and terrible situations. He is still a merciful, loving God who has a plan and purpose for our life. He is still at work. Where does that hope come from? From seeing God work in the past. All throughout the Old Testament, you'll find where the children of Israel are going along, or maybe it's just Jacob or Abraham or wherever, and something will happen, and they'll set up a pillar. They'll set up a pile of rocks, or they'll set up some sort of marker that says, this is where God did that. It's called pillars of testimony. Well, we don't go around putting up stone monuments every time or every place God does something, but we need to keep them written down in our head. God has been faithful. I was going through such and such a situation, and God delivered me. And realized that if He brought us through that, He can bring us through whatever we're facing now. He has not brought us this far to leave us here. He brought us this far because He has a plan and purpose to show His grace to the world around us. If we are bought with a price, if we have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, if we have decided to stop doing it on our own and call out to God and say, "You are God and I am not. Take my life and make it what You will." If we have decided to trust the Lord, then He has a plan and purpose for us to show His grace and His mercy through us to the people around us. It says, I don't remember where it's at, but it says in the New Testament, which narrows it down to not very much, it's that God holds us up as trophies of His grace. In other words, you think you're messed up? I fixed him. I fixed her. I fixed Steve.
Working on Steve.
Still working on Steve. Still working on Andrew. But we can show the grace of what God has done. He has brought us so far. Praise the Lord. As He's working in us, He's working in us that the things that we lay down, the things that we go through, the things that we lose, we still gain so much more. God still has so much more in store for us. And in John 11, verses 21, in John 11 we read the story of Lazarus. In John 11, verse 21, says, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever You ask of God, God will give it to You.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to Him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this?' And she said to Him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.'" In this story, as they're leading up to it, before He shows up, before He goes to Bethany, Him and His disciples get word that Lazarus is sick, and they've called for Jesus to come. And Jesus waited for two more days. And He says, "Okay, now it's time to go." And as they're going along, the disciples, Jesus tells the disciples that Lazarus is sleeping. And one of them says, "Well, if he's sleeping, he'll wake up." And he says, "No, he's dead." And Jesus says, It is good that you are with me, that you might see this. Lazarus is dead. His friend is dead. Jesus said, it is for the glory of God. And he gets there and he has this discussion with Martha. And Martha says, I know that whatever you ask the Father, he will give to you. And then Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Like, yeah, I know. In the last days, he'll rise again. He just said, I will give the whatever you ask the Father, he will give you. Then Martha goes back and gets her sister Mary. And Mary comes out and says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Those who aren't familiar with the story, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days by this point. So Jesus waited 2 days and then left. Then made the journey. So if he'd left as soon as he got the word, Lazarus would still have been dead for 2 days. Jesus was not going to get there before Lazarus died. But he said, God's got a plan. The Father has a plan. And he gets there, even talking with Mary. Scripture, the shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. Jesus, knowing he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead, still took time to grieve with the person who was grieving. Knowing what was coming. He didn't say, cheer up, I got something for you. No, he took the time to cry with her, took the time to love her, took the time to be present with her, and then said, roll the stone away. Mary said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he stinks. Jesus said, roll the stone away, and called him forth. Knowing what was going to happen, he took the time to grieve, knowing that what was going on. He was still present with them, still present with Mary, still present with Martha, still being there and loving them and caring for them. Even when he tried to encourage him, said, your brother will rise again. They were still there, knowing that you had the loss, but you're about to have the gain of him being brought back. Yet still took the time to love them, took the time to be with them. Now, if Jesus, there at the tomb, even with somebody he's about to raise from the dead, takes the time to love them and grieve with them, why would we think we won't have loss? Why would we think we won't have grief in our lives? But God still has a plan. And God is still at work, even when the situations, the circumstances seem completely hopeless. Do we trust the Lord no matter what? Throughout the whole Bible, throughout all of history, I know of two people that didn't die. Enoch walked with God and was no more because God took him, and Elijah went up in a chariot of fire. Everybody else died. Some of them got to die twice. Lazarus got brought back to life, but Lazarus still isn't walking around. Lazarus died. The guy who was thrown in on Elisha's bones, landed on Elisha's bones, came back to life. He died again. You know, the widow's son that Jesus raised from the dead, he's not still walking around either. We all go through things in life. We all lose things in our life. But if we have the trust in the Lord, if we have the trust that He is the one directing us, He is the one walking with us, we can see gain in all that He has done. We can see God's grace and God's mercy in our lives. We can see our lives changed. And look back over what God has brought us through and recognize that He has never left us. When he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, sometimes it feels like we have been left and have been forsaken. I get that. I understand that. But his word is true. He is faithful in all of his ways. God is still at work, no matter the loss. God is still at work, no matter the circumstances. And he loves us, and he's called us to walk with him. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are faithful in all of your ways. We sang that song last week. What a faithful God have I. Oh Lord, you show your grace and your mercy in our hearts and in our lives. Even when we go through loss, even when we face things that are so overwhelming, you are still a faithful God. You are still a loving God, and you are still at work in us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit that draws us. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to seek your face. We thank you, Father, that there's no magic words. There's no specific thing we got to do. Just to reach out and say, Lord, I know you are God. I've made a mess of my life. And I just ask, Lord, that you would take over. Forgive me of my sins and direct and lead me. And thank you, Father, that even when we stumble, even when we fall, you're still right there with open arms lifting us up. You're the one who causes us to stand, the one who causes us to walk forward in you. So we thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you would just continue to show yourself mighty on our behalf. Continue, Father, to work in us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.